Hi, I'm Dave Fattis, and this talk is about witness and worldview. As we enter this last talk, I just want to state that the Christian Leaders College and Institute Statement of Faith is not designed to cover every important teaching or truth of the Christian faith, but we did want, in our Statement of Faith, to identify some of the most central elements of what it means to know God and belong to Jesus, and key beliefs that we think all Christians ought to hold to. And so having said that, we're going to move now into the very last section of our Statement of Faith. God calls us to spread the gospel to people who don't yet follow Christ. And God calls us to a worldview and way of life in which we seek to honor Christ in every area of thought and action. First of all, the call to witness. Jesus' great commission is stated at the end of Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That last assurance is so wonderful. Jesus is with us always. He's speaking with all authority. And under that great commission of Jesus, what are we to do? To make disciples, to baptize, to teach, so that they will live according to Jesus' commands. Jesus gave that great commission because people need the Lord, and because we can glorify God only by trusting Him and obeying Him. We fulfill our true purpose when we're trusting and obeying Him, and we're entering into salvation. And so we Christians can't neglect the Great Commission, the call to make disciples of all nations. Already in Old Testament times, there were calls to make God's glory known widely. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations. Even then, when God was working in a special way with the chosen people of Israel, they weren't chosen just for their own benefit. They were chosen to be a display of God's glory and goodness and love and truth to the nations. They were to tell of His salvation. And we, in the new covenant, who follow the Lord Jesus, are also to tell of salvation from day to day, to make sure that God's glory is made known widely. God deserves to be praised, and people need to be saved. If you had to summarize why we should spread good news, why we should witness, that pretty much sums it up. God deserves to be praised, and people need to be saved. So, the Apostle Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So, spread the gospel, do it gently, do it respectfully, but do it. Because there is a trend in our own time to say, you know what, that's cultural imperialism, to try to foist your religion on somebody else, to try to get them to believe what you believe. Well, it's not me trying to make other people like me. It's trying to help people know Jesus, because Jesus is salvation. Jesus is life. And if I love other people, I don't want to let them go on living without Jesus. So let's not be embarrassed about our calling. Let's not be embarrassed about our mission. Let's not be embarrassed that evangelism and spreading the gospel to all peoples is what Jesus Himself has called us to do. We at Christian Leaders want to raise up leaders who spread good news, who declare salvation, who proclaim Jesus. And that's why it's a part of our very statement of faith that spreading good news, bringing the gospel to others, is Jesus' great commission to us. And along with that, not just witness, but worldview. What do I mean by worldview? That God is Lord over everything, and that all that we do and think ought to be done in His honor. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all who dwell therein." So it's all His. Not just an hour on Sunday mornings, or not just what happens when we say our prayers or read our Bible. Those things are very important, and we've emphasized that. But it's all His. And the occupations that we're involved in, everything we do, our family life, whatever it is, it's His. All things were created through Jesus and for Him. And in Him, all things hold together. That's pretty comprehensive. All things. He's what keeps it all together. And He claims it all. And because He's Lord of all, we want to honor Him as Lord in everything that we do. Genesis 1 verse 26 declares what is known as the cultural mandate. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. This dominion over the creation is the cultural mandate. God appoints humans to cultivate the creation. Originally, that was tending the Garden of Eden and then expanding that garden to include more and more of creation. And so cultivating the creation and developing it and developing what's called culture, where human flourishing in the arts, in our knowledge, in our learning, that's all part of carrying out that cultural mandate. God wants us to multiply in the sense of having children, in the sense of evangelizing people and winning them to Christ, but also in spreading out and making a difference in all the different dimensions of life and having dominion over the different dimensions of His creation. This applies to our personal life. We have a whole course called Spiritual Fitness, or Total Fitness, that course is called, and it explores seven different areas of personal fitness. Your spiritual fitness, your walk with God, your physical fitness, the health of your body, and taking good care of your body through eating well, through exercise, through getting the rest that you need. Financial fitness, wisely managing your finances, developing an income, and spending wisely. Intellectual fitness, sharpening your mind, loving God with your whole mind, becoming more and more knowledgeable about the ways of the Lord and about areas of life that God calls you to be knowledgeable about. Emotional fitness, where we rejoice in the things that God rejoices in, where we mourn the things that grieve God, where our love is expressed to others. Your emotional life is an important part of who you are, and God can fill our emotions the way He wants them to function. Relational fitness, treating other people the way we would want to be treated. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Forgive others as God has forgiven you. Don't take revenge. Deal with your enemies the way God wants you to, by loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you, treating your friends and your family the way God guides you to. This is all part of living a total life that's pleasing to God. And then vocational fitness, the calling that you have, the job you get paid to do, as well as your hobbies and other things that God may call you to do, but you may not get paid to do it. Some people may be great writers or excellent singers or musicians and have a gift for that, but they're not going to make money doing it, but they do it as volunteers in church life or in other settings where they're using their abilities, in some cases getting paid, but in other cases not paid. A lot of retirees, a lot of people in volunteer work, that's part of your vocation from God, your calling from God, but not always your actual job. But certainly your job itself is something that you do in a way that's honest, that honors God, that's productive. You choose work that's going to be useful and helpful to others. So those are seven spheres of personal life where God calls us to total fitness. And this is part of a worldview as it's expressed in individual life. Now, a worldview doesn't just express itself in individual life. We also need to honor God in public life. C.S. Lewis wrote, "There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan." So whatever our hands touch, whatever our minds think about, we need to be discerning, is this of God and are we honoring God in it? And different people have different callings. So if you're called into the sphere of education, of school, of universities, honor God in that. If you're called into the arts, whether it's music or visual arts or painting or film or any of the other arts, let your art be an expression of honor to God. In the realm of science, what a blessing science is. And so many of the early scientists had their worldview shaped by God. They believed in a world that was formed by one great mind and that had patterns in it that the human mind could detect. And because they believed that, they explored and made many of the great discoveries of science. And we should continue in the realm of science, if God calls you in that area, science, medicine, similar fields. Think about how you can best honor God in that calling, in business, in the management of money, in the management of people, in enterprise and being an entrepreneur. There are ways to dishonor God. There are ways to honor God. In the sphere of government, if God calls you into being involved in policy or even running for political office, do that with a sense of wanting to serve God in public life and just in all of society and the way that we relate to one another. Now, there's a danger here. When you believe that God is involved in every aspect of life and every aspect of public life, and you happen to be a leader in the church or a preacher, you might be tempted to start pontificating on everything as though you're an expert on education, that you're a top-notch scientist, that you know all about the arts. So you're going to tell the scientists how to do their job, the artists how to do their job, the educators how to do their job, the business people how to do their job, the politicians how to run the government, and so forth. Be very cautious. It's not that God is not in charge of all of life, but there may be limits to your own understanding, and there are also limits to what God calls ministers as such to be involved in. In our preaching, we're to outline the main principles as revealed by God in Scripture, preeminently the way of salvation in Jesus Christ and knowing God, because to know God is eternal life, and how to live according to God's commands. These are things we must preach, but when it gets into the details of various callings, what God wants is Christians in those callings who've become very learned and skilled in those callings. Not a preacher who has to know everything, but instead people with different gifts, personalities, and opportunities who are bringing their ability and their experience to bear in that aspect of life. So in making a worldview and God's claim on all of life part of our statement of faith, we're not saying that preachers need to be know-it-alls who pontificate on the details of every sphere of life. We are saying that God calls Christians wherever He sends them and whatever they do in public life as well as private life to be walking with Him and applying their faith by the help of the Holy Spirit to the sphere of life that they're living in. So, we're called to witness and we're called to have a God-saturated, God-ruled worldview. God calls us to spread the gospel to people who don't yet follow Christ, and God calls us to a worldview and a way of life in which we seek to honor Christ in every area of thought and action.